Greetings. This is Joshua Lorenz, president of the Metro Atlanta Association of Professionals. Are you looking to expand your business, seeking employment connections, or are you looking to grow your professional network? Then this is the organization for you. We are Atlanta's first and oldest business association for professional members of the LGBT community and our allies. We've been at the cutting edge of making sure you meet the right professional connections to take your career to the next level. For more information about membership and being part of our legacy, visit our website at www.maapatl.org. Once again, that's maapatl.org. Looking for networking? There's a map for that. We look forward to seeing you at our next event.
South Fulton, Tri-Cities, Douglas County, South Cobb, and West Atlanta. Looking for a place to find out news and information about your community? Well, the Home Rule News is here just for you. Visit us online at www.homerulenews.com. That's www.homerulenews.com. Your news, your community. Now you know.
Greetings to our listening audience and welcome to Meek Productions syndicated shows as we present to you a new episode of our number one LGBT community news outlet, Meek Pro Media Special Edition, starting right now. Two, three, and we're live and direct once again. Thank you to our listening audience for tuning in to another afternoon episode of Meek Pro Media Special Edition News. This is the CEO back at you once again, broadcasting in the heart of downtown ATL, representing the world's first LGBT exclusive talent agency and production company. For our previously broadcast shows, please visit our official media website at media.meekproductions.com. Once again, that's media.meekproductions.com. You can also give us a call on our toll-free office hotline at 1-855-MEEK-PRO. Once again, that's 1-855-632-5776. And when you visit our media website, do not forget to visit us on YouTube, youtube.com/MEEK Productions TV. As of today, we are videotaping our radio broadcast, and I'm so excited. So hello to our viewing audience on our YouTube channel. And of course, we cannot have a radio show without having a special guest. This particular special guest that I have in the media studio right now, baby, I've been a fan of his since I first was introduced to him. He's been doing a lot of events and activism within the LGBT community. He's considered a legend. Mr. Bill Kalin is in the house. What's going on?
I don't know. I mean, a legend allegedly means I'm just old. But I'll take it.
No, baby. I mean, legend means elder, wisdom, experience, baby.
All right, I'll take it. Not going to complain.
How's it going with you, Bill?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for inviting me.
Don't mess with Bill. Leave my Billy alone.
I love it. See, I need that. Could have used that song earlier.
Yes,
today.
Man. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence,
oh,
baby.
Oh, God. No. Thank you for the invite. Thank you for the invite.
What's been going on with you lately, man? You've been doing so much lately.
What's going on with me? I'm just honestly trying to find that balance between work and life and making a difference and making money. And
okay.
You know, unfortunately, I think in today's world, in order to make a difference, you need to make some money.
Yeah,
so,
uh-huh.
But yeah, I'm just trying to just balance it all out, really.
I know.
And enjoy life. Because, you know, what's the point of doing all this if
this is true?
You're not having fun.
There you go. And if you're not enjoying and passionate about what you're doing.
Right.
Yes, man. To our listening and viewing audience, for people that don't know Bill Kalin, tell us a little bit about your humble beginnings. First of all, I know briefly before the broadcast, we talked about when you first came to the ATL.
Yeah.
So let's start there.
All right.
You actually first came to the ATL in what, 1995?
95. The summer of...
Before the Olympics.
I'm horrible at math. So how many years would that be? It was like July of 1995. So I guess I'm on my 22nd.
Yeah,
anniversary.
22nd anniversary here in the ATL. So yeah, you was officially a native once you passed the 10-year mark. So
and when I got here, I was like, it's okay. Maybe I'll stay a year or two. And it's been so good to me. And Atlanta's my home now. And
what brought you to Atlanta?
I had graduated from college and I was dating a guy at the particular time, and we were kind of at that stage of we either had to re-sign our lease and stay in this college town in Champaign, Illinois, mm-hmm. and continue to wait on tables and kind of live this college town existence.
Okay, okay.
Or he actually encouraged, he was like, let's move to Atlanta. He's like, it's a new and up-and-coming city. There's all this buzz of media about it. Let's give it a try. Mm-hmm. So reluctantly or nervously, probably is a better way of putting it, we packed our bags and had enough money for like 1 month's worth of rent and about 2 weeks worth of food, no job. And we came down here and we moved in to a legendary place called York Downs on 26th Street.
Yeah.
It's no longer there. Because as we know, Atlanta's changed a lot since
the 90s. It has changed tremendously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my first job was, I used a service called ProMove to help me find an apartment. And that was my first actual official job.
Okay.
And one day, back in those days, you would bring clients into the office and find out what neighborhood they wanted to live in, et cetera, et cetera. Uh-huh. And one day somebody had brought this huge stack of oversized, almost like Andy Warhol interview style magazines to put in the offices for clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I started flipping through it and I was like, wow, this magazine's, you know, pretty cool. And looked at the masthead and it was Jezebel magazine, and it was a local magazine, and it was like their first edition or something like that.
I remember when Jezebel first launched. That's right. Yeah.
And so I made a phone call, like a blind phone call, not knowing anything, asking them if they were hiring. The next day I had an interview for their marketing position.
Wow.
I knew nothing about marketing then at the time.
Uh-huh.
But that was kind of how my career took off, because I became their first marketing person that they hired. And we took this magazine to nightclubs and restaurants and to events. Like back in those days, it was called the Montreux Music Festival, which has become the Jazz Festival now, and secured partnerships and sponsorships. And one thing led to another, and I rolled into the nightclub industry. And after that, and my first nightclub was a place called Fusion in Amsterdam Outlets.
I remember Fusion. I remember that.
It was a crazy place.
Yes.
Had a lot of fun doing that. After that, I did 1150. And then after that, I opened up my own place, finally called Bazaar, which was next to the Fox Theater. And when I sold that, which was about 7 years ago, I knew I didn't want to stay in the nightclub business. Number one, I was just getting, it's a hard business, right?
It really is.
Hours are backwards. The lifestyle can be a little bit challenging and is fun in your 20s and your 30s. By the time I reached my 40s, I was like, all right, I got to change this up. And a friend of mine who was in the PR business was like, you should just start your own consulting marketing PR company. And I was like, I don't know, man. And she's like, how much money do you need to make minimum to survive? And I told her the amount. And she's like, dude, that's a client and a half. You can do this.
Okay.
I, you know, gave it a try. And here we are 8 years later, I guess.
Wow.
And, you know, my clients initially started as nightclubs because I think that's where my experience was.
Mm-hmm.
So we helped launch the Gold Room, or the return of the Gold Room, rather, a place called Aurum. And then the client started to evolve into like STK, to the W Hotels, and
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, well, we've done some sponsorship events with Coca-Cola and other brands like Tito's and
Turner Broadcasting.
Yeah, that was at 1150 days. We did a big event with them for, if you remember, the Powder Puff Girls.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And so yeah, I just the career has evolved and moved and changed along with me, and you know, now currently we have the Atlanta Beltline as a client, which, you know, we all love. We still are with the Westin, and we're doing a lot of work with these luxury apartment communities as well that are popping up and stuff like that. So,
man, when I look at your roster and even how you actually got into becoming an entrepreneur, man, it's very, very remarkable. You've done some great work.
Thank you.
I mean, every time I've gone to some of your events and stuff, it's always upscale, always classy.
That's there's really been a few that haven't been all that classy. But those were usually the most fun ones, to be honest with you. We always say in the 90s.
Okay.
Because the 90s was a different time.
Yeah, it was a different time. It
classy really was with a K in the 90s.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about Special K. Sorry, I had to go there.
Of course you did. You couldn't leave it alone.
I mean, you know.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
We're going to take a brief
break. Am I allowed to curse on this
thing,
by the
way? Oh, yes, you are, baby. This is independent radio.
I hate editing myself.
You know what I'm saying? You know, we can say what we want to on independent radio.
I'll try to keep it classy.
Okay.
With a C.
We're going to take our only commercial break for this radio broadcast. When we come back, we have more with the legend that is Bill Kalin right here on Micro Media Special Edition News on our very first videotaped broadcast. All right, so stay tuned. We have more in store, baby.
After I came out, I remember being on the playground and someone threw a ball right in my face.
How would you feel if others treated you like you didn't belong at school? On your sports team, at church, or even in your own home.
Millions of gay and transgender youth are made to feel like they don't fit in every day.
We've all been hurt by words before. So before you speak, think about how your words might affect someone else.
You have the power to make a difference.
To find out how, go to glaad.org.
That's GLAAD.org.
Are you an LGBT music artist looking for worldwide exposure? Well, look no further. Meek Productions does it again, as it presents the official radio spinoff of the upcoming music workshop and concert series, the Various Artist Talent Showcase. Tune in twice a month as we give the latest hits from the newest music discoveries in the LGBT community. We support and believe in the independent artists. To have your music played on our radio show, visit our official Facebook group or visit our website at meekproductions.com. That's M-E-A-K as in kite, productions with an S.com. The Various Artist Talent Showcase, where LGBT music artists take flight.
Greetings, this is Dedrick Tillerson, founder of Forest Sports Foundation. Since our humble beginnings in 2014, our mission has been to uplift, educate, connect, and promote success in the LGBT community through the avenue of sports. Not only do we produce tournaments throughout the year, we also provide mentoring, develop talent pools, volunteer our time, and institute solid plans to help build awareness around the LGBT sports movement. For more information about how you can support the growth of our foundation, visit our website at www.4ussports.org. Again, that's www.4ussports.org. Whatever your favorite sport or game is, know that you have a home here at Forest Sports. We definitely look forward to seeing you at our next tournament.
Greetings, this is Jim Farmer, Festival Director of Out on Film. You're tuned in to the best in LGBT community news and commentary on Meek Pro Media Special Edition. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this break.
Looking for graphic and web design? Need an affordable rate design for the size of your business? Then turn to OKIM Designs, the official design subsidiary of the May Corporation USA. For 14 years, our firm has been a tremendous blessing for many new startups, micro enterprises, and small businesses simply by giving them quality design solutions through professionalism with unbeatable prices. Whether you're looking for branding, marketing, advertising materials, printing, or just simply online content for your website, OKIM Designs has the tools, the expertise, and the capacity to guarantee a successful campaign for your business. For a free one-hour consultation, feel free to contact our office at 1-800-930-7291. That's 1-800-930-7291, extension 2. Or visit the website at www.okimdesigns.com. That's www.okimdesigns.com to review our 14-year design portfolios. We look forward to assisting you in bringing the visions of your I Am to life.
This is Larry Carter, official board member of Southwest Atlanta Pride. Since 2013, we've been a driving force in bridging the gap between LGBTQ neighbors on Atlanta's Southwest Side. Our mission is to support, educate, and inspire community by building bridges of unity and educating others in hopes of making every place a safe place in Southwest Atlanta, which includes West End, Westview, Capitol View, East Point, College Park, Cascade, and more. For more information on how you can support, partner, and donate, please visit facebook.com/ Southwest Atlanta Pride or email swatlantapride@gmail.com.
Meek Productions is proud to be an official media partner for this organization.
Hey, this is Maurice Jamal, and I want to invite you to join me with a new movement that is designed to honor, preserve, present, and recognize the numerous contributions of Black LGBT people all across our country. History of Black Gay America is Meek Productions' new division, created for the advancement, evolution, and progression of queer people of color. So if you're a pride organizer, activist, or historian and want this concept in your city, and you should, register as a chapter manager or representative by visiting their website, blackgayusa.meekproductions.com. Once again, that's blackgayusa.meekproductions.com. Remember, know your history and know your heritage.
Yes, but we're back with the second half of Meet Pro Media Special Edition News with our special guest, Bill Kalin. And I'm still happy that he's with us. Over the commercial break, you talked to us about you regret not staying in radio, had no idea you had experience in radio. So tell us a little bit about that story, man.
It's a funny story. I was very young. I was 21, I guess, between 20 and 21 years old. And I was living in Decatur, Illinois, where I was born and raised. And there was a FM station called Y103 and an AM station called WSOY. And I always wanted the opportunity to be on the radio. Mm-hmm. And again, I just kind of went in and asked for it. There's a similar path in my career. I truly believe that the worst thing that somebody can say to you is no. Anything you want to do, just ask. Mm-hmm. Worst mm-hmm. thing they're going to say is no. And then you move on or you keep on trying. But anyway, I went into this radio station. They said, sure, but you're going to have the graveyard shift, which meant I think I went into work at like
12 midnight.
Mm-hmm. And I worked till like 8 o'clock that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a blast. Little did they know that like back in those days, well, even today, a lot of it is satellite generated, right? Mm-hmm. There's not the DJ playing the records and whatever. But what I used to do was I would turn off the satellite and there was a big, huge room that was stocked full of like 45s from like the 60s and
wow.
the 70s. And I would literally... because everybody was sleeping. They didn't. I would play the records and talk and do the weather and the news, whatever. And then on Saturday mornings, there used to be this show, and it was legendary in Decatur at the time. It was called Swap Shop, before the day of Craigslist and all that stuff. And people would call in and be like, I've got four tires, good condition. I'll take $30 or best offer. And people would call in with this crazy stuff. But I think the funny part about that, or where I had fun with it, is I would kind of throw shade without them knowing, right? It would just, you'd be, yeah, I don't know how to explain it. But, you know, sometimes people, like I said, would literally call in. And I think one time somebody called in and, you know, said they had a half box of diapers that they wanted to get rid of. I mean, like, crazy stuff. And then you'd be like, if you're interested in this half box of diapers, call Laverne at 217. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. And I'm a music lover. It's really my number one passion. Mm-hmm. It's actually what got me into the nightclub business, I think, initially in the first place. And I love talking. I probably talk too much.
We got to get you back in the radio business, man.
It would be fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't turn it down. That's for sure.
Yeah. We got to talk about that.
All right. Well, maybe you can help me out.
Of course I can.
I can be a part of your talent agency.
Hey.
I'm serious. I'll give you a cut.
Hey. You know, I love that now. Man, tell us a little bit about, before we get into what's in store for the future with your business, tell us a little bit about how it was with you growing up, because you're originally from Illinois, right?
Yep.
How was it growing up knowing that you were different from everybody else or our young people that are listening right now?
Well, you know, when I was 12, 13, really coming to terms or starting to realize the difference, mm-hmm. what you've got to understand and what the audience needs to understand is that was like 1982, 83.
Oh, yes.
So I was starting to come in realization of my sexuality during a time where people were dying of AIDS
yep.
left
mm-hmm.
and right.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, it's sad and I've worked through it and I'm glad I did, but I think I'm not the only one. A lot of people growing up gay during those years had this inkling that we potentially wouldn't even survive past our 20s.
That's true.
And I feel like I am part of that generation that's in between the tragedy of AIDS
mm-hmm.
and the survival part of HIV and AIDS. And, you know, for the listeners today, and I get, especially the young ones, I sometimes get a little bit frustrated because I hope they know how good they actually have it.
Absolutely.
I don't regret growing up in that time. As a matter of fact, I am so happy that I got to grow up and experience my first experiences in the gay community at the nightclubs and making friends during a time before social media. I mean, mm-hmm. I have told this story before where recently I was in New York for business and I went to some small little gay nightclub to see what was going on. And these kids were on the dance floor, and this is them on the dance floor. The DJ would be going, and they'd be like this, and then they'd take their phone, and they'd stop and take a mm-hmm. selfie, and then they'd look down, and they'd share it, and then they'd start, like, moving again. And then they'd stop, take a picture.
Okay.
I'm like, can you not lose yourself for... Because we used to go on the dance floor and lose ourselves for hours and with
yes.
strangers. And thank God social media didn't exist because some of the photos I probably wouldn't even be employed to this day that could have showed up. But I mean, I don't know. I think growing up in the 80s, it was a different time. I mean,
it was.
You know, think about it this way too. We had no. It was considered cutting edge for Roseanne Barr to mm-hmm. go to a lesbian bar and show a. image on TV of her basically giving a peck to
yes.
another woman.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you had Ellen and then, but that was before that was, I was by that time I was already in my 20s,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I don't know. I am thankful. And I mean this with complete respect and love. If I would have been born 5 years earlier, I probably wouldn't be alive today.
Wow. Wow.
Most likely.
Mm.
Well, I mean, think of an entire generation of people lost.
This is true.
And I think that's something else that I hope the young generation and I hope us as a country continue to share the history of LGBT people because, I think everybody needs to remember that and respect the ones that came before us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for confirming and validating one of the reasons why History of Black Gay America, the reason why I named that is because, of course, you know, being gay is one thing, but being gay and of color is an additional
yeah,
dynamic. And we both grew up in the same generation because
yeah.
you're class of 88, I'm class of 89 when it comes to high school years.
Right.
And I always call us the generation of the transition because we had a chance to get a taste of the old and we saw the new coming in because
yeah.
we're the generation that's right before the technology generation.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because by the time we was in college, Windows 95 was coming right around the corner.
Right.
And we was the first generation to experience the CD phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we still remember the vinyl.
Yeah.
And like you talked about 45.
I went through everything. I went vinyl, 8-tracks.
Okay,
cassette.
Yeah, same here.
CDs.
CDs.
And now I'm back to vinyl.
Back to
vinyl. It's made a full circle.
Okay.
But
so, yeah, I remember the time of the Laserdisc before DVDs came out. You remember those? And so it was just so remarkable just to see the growth at the same time, seeing the struggles that we've come through. And as an LGBT community, we've come a long way. But I think that by us being in that generation, we had a chance to witness the pioneering efforts of a lot of members in the LGBT community that broke down a lot of doors.
Yeah, and the fight and struggle is not over.
Well, it's still not over.
I mean, and I think that is what I want the young generation to not get lackadaisical and complacent about. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, until human rights, civil rights across the board, the Black community, women, mm-hmm. transgender, gay community are settled, the fight isn't done for any of us.
This is true.
And we also need to not forget that there were a lot of people that stood up for us, and we have to stand up
for them.
For them.
This is true.
You know, that's one of the things, and it's interesting we're having this conversation today. I don't even know if I should go there, but I...
Please do.
Okay, well, there was something that happened actually today on social media, and it was about a situation that happened at Vortex and a woman that got bad service, mm-hmm. and it was wrong. The server screwed up. He gave his boyfriend... her information. He harassed this woman. This woman happened to be African American. Black Lives Matter made a statement about it, but in the statement, Black Lives Matter made some sort of comment mm-hmm. that this woman was offended and taken back by the server mm-hmm. having being physical with his boyfriend in front of her. Now, come to find out, it probably was poorly written. It mm-hmm. wasn't meant to be the way mm-hmm. it was meant to be. Mm-hmm. But it started this debate about, you know, even that gay people, Black Lives Matter, actually should be...
Working together. This is true.
And I made a comment that, you know, and it's very true in every generation, but you being a Black man know more than I do, mm-hmm. that, you know, we all have to work on homophobia in all of our
communities. This is true.
And I know that one of the things, I don't know, and maybe you can confirm it for me, but mm-hmm. my hunch is that, you know, Atlanta's becoming, and I love this from what I've read, is Atlanta is becoming like the San Francisco of the 70s for the African American community.
It is.
Where Atlanta's the place to go if you're Black and you're gay and you want to be free mm-hmm. and to live a life of being open, right? And is from what I've read and from what I understand. And I think we're in a really powerful, perfect place with this being the home of Martin Luther King.
There you go.
To take Black Lives Matter, to take the Black gay community and any other disenfranchised group and put the efforts together.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe everybody can win instead of...
We need more
dividing.
People. Thank you. We need more people like you, especially from our brothers and sisters of European descent, to actually talk about that more, because being born and raised in the Confederate South, like yeah. myself, it was very hard. And one of the reasons why, for example, this whole debate about why are there two prides? Well, back in the day, and I'm glad that the miniseries of When We Rise focused on this, because remember the episode where the Black soldier
yep.
went into the gay club where it was mostly white and he wasn't accepted. That was going on in the 70s.
Absolutely.
And especially in the southern states, that was going on a lot during the 70s. And one of the reasons why Black Pride existed was because the main pride of these cities was not inclusive
yeah.
or diverse yep. back during the time. And I find
there's still a lot of racist gay people, mm-hmm. white gay people, too.
Yes.
I mean, let's call it what it is.
Let's call it what it is. I appreciate you for even bringing that forward, because many people from the white community or the white LGBT community don't want to recognize that particular racism, and they don't want to recognize their white privilege. And so not realizing that stuff like that is what is hindering the movement overall.
And what I'd like to ask them is, to the white person that doesn't understand or whatever,
mm-hmm.
had they ever walked into Loretta's you know, I think that old saying that you, in order to understand how other people feel, you have to go into their world mm-hmm. and get to feel what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I mean, I used to love Loretta's.
Lolo's, baby.
I mean, Loretta's is great, you know? And yeah. the other thing was, and I'll be interested on your take with this, what you're saying is absolutely true. In the mm-hmm. 70s is not that long ago. The mm-hmm. civil rights movement,
hey, just
people were blowing children down the street with fire hoses.
Sure was.
Was late 50s, not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
It takes time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to change the path. But I also think it's somewhat to do with a difference in taste. Mm-hmm. When I was at Fusion, for an example, and it annoyed me to a certain degree, but Friday night was Black night and Saturday night was the white gay night. But if you strip away what it was,
uh-huh.
it wasn't necessarily based around racism. It was based around preference in music, preference in what kind of drugs, if you were doing drugs, you preferred.
This is true.
And just what you were more comfortable with. So I think that it's an interesting story because, and again, Friday Nights at Fusion, I love because they were playing the house.
Okay.
The house music. And they were smoking their weed.
Okay.
And they were drinking their booze. The White Knight, however, was, you know, they were snorting stuff and taking pills and
yes.
And the music was different, and it was just,
it was more like rave music, techno,
right? Techno. Yeah. So it just, mm-hmm. part of it was just, I think, culturally,
yeah,
a preference,
mm-hmm.
thing. So I think on one hand we can analyze it properly like we did, but mm-hmm. on the other hand, there also comes a point in time where what you relate to.
And also, you're bringing back the days of Backstreet. And I know we can continue this on and on because I know we're getting ready to end.
I told you, I could talk and talk.
Man,
and talk.
I just love this. So we're going to have to get Bill back on our show because I didn't know this brother was this deep.
Do you see my Facebook posts?
God. Baby.
I'm so deep, it wears me out.
Okay. For those of you that are viewing for the first time and that are listening to us on our radio show, thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Meek Pro Media Special Edition News. Baby, when I tell you that you went there, honey.
I hope I went there with respect and love, though.
I mean, he went there big time. So until our next episode, please be well. Bill, thank you so much.
Yes.
For more information about Bill, please visit his website at www.billkalin.com. Until then, we look forward to hearing from you and hopefully seeing you real soon. Love you, Bill.
Love you, too.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA, America's wireless companies, and the National Safety Council.